Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be ashamed.
We're going to spend the last few minutes of Issues Etc. in a fruitful pursuit. As we often do here on the program, a little sermon review. Sometimes we review the sermons as examples of what you should be listening for if you hear it run, kind of a sermon review, the bad sermon review. Today, a good sermon review. I'll just say that completely up front. Nonetheless, we like to use our sermon diagnostic whenever we review any sermon. It might be familiar to you. Maybe this is the first time you've heard it. We've got a simple three-part sermon diagnostic that we use for every sermon review here on Issues Etc., and we'll be reviewing a sermon preached by Pastor Bill Swirla, a regular guest of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, on Luke chapter 17 this last week. Part 1, how often is Jesus mentioned? That is, explicit references to Jesus, our Savior, not to some generic deity or you-know-who, but to Jesus. How often is Jesus mentioned? Keep a simple running tally. If he's mentioned often, then you can go on to part number 2, diagnostic part number 2, and that is Jesus the subject of the verbs? That's a grammatical question, but it's an important question. That is Jesus the one running the verbs, doing the doing? Is he the one that you're being told by this preacher is doing something here as the subject of the verbs? And then if Jesus is mentioned often and is the subject of the verbs, then you go on to part number 3, and that is, what are those verbs? This is very important because you could have a preacher up there telling you about a Jesus who helps or motivates or inspires, but not the Jesus who lived for you, suffered for you, died for you on the cross. The whole gospel, the whole cross could be missing if the verbs aren't right. So how often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? When we come back from this break, we're going to review this sermon by Pastor Bill Swirla, preached on this text from Luke chapter 17. Speaking of Luke, Jesus simply says, this is how preaching ought to be. He says it is written that the Christ should suffer, and that on the third day he should rise from the dead, and he's not stopped, he hasn't finished there, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, and then out to all of the world. So Jesus sets this standard for good preaching. We will hear some good preaching on the other side of the break. Pastor Swirla is going to be preaching on Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 10, where Jesus talks about the temptations that are sure to come, the stumbling blocks that are sure to come. The apostles entreat the Lord to increase their faith, and Jesus says if you had faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you would be tossing mulberry trees into the sea, and they would be obeying you. And then, of course, the rest of that pericope has to do with the disciples, Jesus telling the disciples that even when they have done all that is commanded them, they are still nonetheless and ought to confess themselves to be unworthy servants. We'll get into that text and into the sermon on the other side of the break. It is Wednesday afternoon, October the 9th. When we come back, we'll be reviewing this sermon from Pastor Bill Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, on the temptations and the stumbling blocks that are sure to come. Stay tuned.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has a new fall schedule for adult boot camps and sports performance training classes. There's plenty of flexibility with workouts on weekday mornings, weekday evenings, or even Saturday mornings. Arch Fitness has a new, bigger location at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning until noon on Saturday, November the 2nd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2013 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 2nd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to review a sermon here on the program in the last half hour. I want to remind you one thing before we get into the actual sermon by Pastor Bill Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. I mentioned before Luke chapter 24, where Jesus says this is the pattern of preaching for all time. It really is. We are not at liberty to deviate from it. And if there's any question as to whether or not we ought to be focusing on the cross in our sermons, what Jesus did for us at the cross, how he verbs the cross, does the cross for us sinners, St. Paul is at pains to remind us that even he himself was determined to know nothing among the Corinthians or any place he went save Jesus Christ and him crucified. With that in mind, let's begin the review and listen to this sermon from Pastor Bill Swirla based on Luke chapter 17, the first 10 verses, preached at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California.
Scandals, stumbling stones, trip points inevitably come. They can't not come, but woe to those through whom they come. Jesus is not talking about temptations to sin, as the translation you just heard has it, but he's talking about scandals of faith, stumbling points of faith, things that make your faith trip on your walk of faith. It's like you're walking along and all of a sudden your toe jams into something you didn't see and you stumble, you trip, sometimes you fall flat on your face. See, that's what a scandalon is. That's the Greek word there, scandalon. We get the word scandal from it. Something that you trip over as you are walking along. And walking through the rocky, uneven path of this life, in which sin and death and disease and doubt are strewn all over the place, there is no shortage of stumbling stones. Jesus itemizes three such stumbling stones, such scandals to faith, in our reading from Luke's Gospel this morning. Three stones that we routinely trip over, that cause our faith to wobble, and that might even cause us to fall flat upon our faces. And the first has to do with forgiveness. Not God's forgiveness to you, but your forgiveness to others, the brother or the sister that sins against you. It's one thing to say, I believe that God forgives me, that he justifies me for Jesus' sake, that he takes away all my sins and does not hold my sins against me. All of that is quite true. It's quite important. And there are plenty of scandal stones to trip over concerning that too. But the problem here is for us, and the scandal of faith comes when a brother or a sister sins against us, when we are the ones sinned against, not God. It's one thing about the sins we do against God, but this concerns the sins that others do against us. And then all of a sudden, things look a bit differently. This is what we pray about in the fifth petition when we pray, forgive us our trespasses, our debts, as we forgive our debtors, those who sin against us. In other words, Father, forgive us all that we do against you in precisely the same way that we forgive others when they hurt or harm us. Now imagine a child, a little kid, coming up to parent, mom and dad, saying, Mom, Dad, deal with me in exactly the same way that I deal with my brothers and sisters. You see, that's how Jesus teaches us to pray in the fifth petition. Forgive us our trespasses as, in the same way, we forgive those who trespass against us. And so Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Okay, we're good with that. You hurt me, I rebuke you. You repent, I forgive you. Fair enough. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. But wait, there's more. Jesus applies a divine multiplier. And he says, if the same brother sins against you 7 times in a day, 7 times the very same thing, 7 times I repent, then you must forgive him. Must. Not an option. Must. Forgiveness is never an option for a disciple of Jesus. You must forgive. You see, Jesus knows that one of the greatest stumbling blocks to faith, one of the great tripping points in the life of the believer, is unforgiveness. Refusal to forgive the brother or the sister who sins against you. Here's what happens. First, you get angry at that person. And then you lash out at that person in anger. Or maybe you go off and you tell others. We like to enlist others in our cause. Do you know what he did to me? Do you know what she said about me? And you gossip, enlisting others to your side, to your case. And then, like all fish stories, the story grows, making you look good, making them look bad. You amplify the hurt. You amplify the sin. You're the innocent victim. Oh, poor you. They're the guilty party. You condemn them. You judge the other person. You condemn them. You excommunicate them from your lives. I want nothing more to do with that person. And here's the kicker. You feel justified in doing so. That's the scandalon. That's the trap. That's the tripping point. That's exactly where the devil wants you. Justifying yourself in not forgiving someone else. And now you can no longer pray, forgive me as I forgive others. Because you don't forgive others. Now you have become the opposite of faith. Now you have become self-justifying. Now you are damned. That's why it's so dangerous. Jesus knows the danger. And he knows that the only antidote to sin is forgiveness. Free, unconditional, unmerited, uncounted, limitless forgiveness. Unforgiveness simply amplifies and perpetuates sin. When you refuse to forgive your brother or your sister 7 times in a day for the same sin, you're not hurting them with your refusal to forgive. You are hurting yourself alone. No one is ever hurt by unforgiveness except the person who refuses to forgive, because you are calling into doubt and into question the whole notion that forgiveness is unmerited, it's undeserved. It's free, gratis grace. God in Jesus Christ has forgiven you. Even before you have sinned, he has forgiven you. And he continues to forgive you entirely, without any merit, worthiness on your part. He forgives you, knowing full well you will do the same thing again, over and over and over, 7 times in a day, maybe even more. He forgives you knowing that you are a sinner, a justified sinner, but a sinner declared righteous for Jesus' sake. He knows that you are at this moment both sinful and righteous at the same time. And he forgives you entirely for his son's sake, for Jesus' sake, on account of his blood, on account of his death, on account of his perfect life. Nothing having to do with you. Not because you're lovable, not because you're forgivable, not because you're religious. He forgives you for Christ's sake. Forgiveness does not start with you, does not originate inside you. It flows like a river from the merciful heart of God in Christ through you to the neighbor. You see, Jesus breaks this cycle with forgiveness, the sin cycle. Someone sins against you, you get angry with them, you sin against them, they sin against you, on and on. Jesus breaks that cycle with forgiveness. He reconciles. He makes peace. He brings warring parties together, and he washes away the sin that gets between them. He reconciles you, a sinner, to the Father. And he reconciles you to your brother and your sister who has sinned against you. So it's a little wonder that the apostles look at Jesus and they say, Lord, increase our faith. Our faith isn't big enough for this kind of forgiveness. We need bigger faith. Our faith is too small. We're too weak for this kind of task. We're not up to this kind of seven times in a day forgiveness. Well, the apostles got it half right, at least. Faith is something that God works. It's not something in us. It's not a virtue in us. But they also got it wrong. Faith can't be sized or quantified, increased or decreased. It's not a matter of big faith or little faith. And that's stumbling stone number two this morning. Faith looking at itself rather than faith looking at Jesus.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll review some more of the sermon preached by Pastor Bill Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, based on Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. It's Wednesday afternoon, October the 9th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We've got all sorts of stumbling blocks to our faith, don't we? And the answer is not to worry about the size of our faith because, well, not only can it not be measured, it should not be measured. And maybe that's the point Jesus is trying to make with his mustard seed comment. We'll find out right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia, Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas, Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas, Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri, Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California, Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas, Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas, Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas, and Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a biography titled The Mother of the Reformation, The Amazing Life and Story of Catherine Luther. This new Reformation resource provides an inside look into the daily lives of Martin and Katie Luther. The Mother of the Reformation is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. The Mother of the Reformation, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. Folks, if you appreciate our sermon reviews here on Issues Etc., and you're a member of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, please designate your Thrivent Choice dollars this month to Lutheran Public Radio. By doing so, before October the 31st, Thrivent will donate an extra $25 to the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Go to the donate page at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the Thrivent logo, click on that, and then designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Lutheran Public Radio. Lutheran Public Radio produces Issues Etc. Thank you in advance for doing so. And remember, if you do so before the end of the month, there's an extra $25 given by Thrivent to Issues Etc. Thank you in advance. We're reviewing a sermon preached Sunday by Pastor Bill Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. The text is Luke chapter 17. He's talking about the various stumbling points for our faith. And the last one he mentioned is kind of worrying about the size of our faith.
You know, maybe you've heard it, maybe you've said it, I hope not, but maybe you have. Oh, he has great faith. Or somebody says, I have my faith. My faith seems so small. I'm glad I have a great faith. That's faith looking at faith. That's the great distraction of faith. You know those floaty things in your eye? You ever see those? Like you look up at clouds and you see the floaty things? Or I've noticed on the computer monitor, you see the floaty things. Now, when you start looking at the floaty things in your eye, you don't see what you're looking at anymore. All you see is floaty things. That's faith that is looking at faith. Faith preoccupied with faith. Faith that takes its eyes off of Jesus and starts looking at itself. It's like the eye looking at itself. You can't look at your own eyes. Somebody else has to look at your eyes. You can't. When you do, you don't see anything. You see, faith is not a quality in us or a virtue in us or something good in us, something that makes us lovable to God. Faith is a gift of God to us. An ability to receive the gifts of God through His Word. God grants faith so that we might be faithful, that is full of faith. But when you look at your own faith, you don't see anything because faith is nothing to look at. It's smaller than a mustard seed. You look to Jesus. That's what faith does. Faith looks to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And faith lets God worry about the faith. You see, if you're going to size faith at all, think about this. If faith was as small as a mustard seed, you could move a big mulberry tree, uproot it, and transplant it into the sea. If your faith was as big as a mustard seed, that's how potent faith is, because faith doesn't do anything. God works through faith. God moves mulberry trees, not you and your faith. Now, God's not interested in moving mulberry trees. He's quite happy where they are. But He is interested in justifying sinners, which is a lot more difficult than moving mulberry trees. And He does this by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. Faith justifies. The righteous shall live by faith, said Habakkuk. The power of faith is not in faith, but in Christ, to whom faith clings. In fact, try this test. Whenever you say faith, say Jesus. Then you got it right. My faith is strong. My Jesus is strong. That's how that works. It's just like the power of what we see is not in our eyes, but what our eyes take in. Our eyes don't put out light. They take in light. The power of sight is not in the eyes, but in the light and the things that the eyes see. The power of God to save you is not in you. It's not in your faith. It's something outside of you that gets to you through faith. The power of faith is in the receiving, not the doing. And so even the tiniest glimmer of faith a little child's faith, receives the fullness of forgiveness and life and salvation that Jesus died to win. So much for big faith, little faith, irrelevant. Jesus, that's all that matters. The third stumbling block to faith is merit. This notion that we get what we deserve, that we have to earn things, that we must earn God's favor by our good behavior. And for this third part, Jesus tells a kind of a parable in the form of a question. Does anyone have a servant who plows or tends the sheep? Does anyone come and say to that servant, hey, come up to the house, chill, put up your feet, I'll get you a beer, we can watch the ball game, I'll serve you. And the answer is, of course not. Don't be ridiculous. There are masters and there are servants. There are employers and there are employees. Instead, the master will say to his servants, I'm glad you're done in the field. Now, go make me dinner, set the table, serve me. And when you're done with all of your work, then you can go off to the kitchen and have something to eat too. And does he go and thank the servant for doing what was commanded him to do? Of course not. It's commanded. It's not a favor. No master does this. You see, Jesus addresses this stumbling block of merit. Because deep down inside of us, we believe that everything in life is earned. And experience teaches it. Wages are earned. Positions are earned. Profits are earned. Servants labor. And as any boss will tell you, they rarely do everything that's asked of them. They do just enough to get by, usually. And at the end of the day, they get a paycheck for what they did. Maybe if they're really good, they'll get a bonus or a watch or a pat on the head or something like that. The trouble is when we start thinking about our life before God, our eternal life, we begin to think in the same terms, in terms of merit. This is the stumbling block that tripped the whole church at the time of Luther. Your merits had to outweigh your sins on the scales of God's justice. And then, there it is again, you begin to justify yourself before God. Saying things like so many people say at the end of their lives, I lived a good life. I prayed every day. I didn't make it to church much, but I believed in my heart. My heart is right with God. Me, my, I, all of that stuff. Justifying ourselves, boasting in who we are and what we have done, comparing ourselves to others. I'm not like other people. I'm so much better than they are. And elevating yourself on the back of your brothers and your sisters. That's a good way to get damned, my friends. Good way. And Jesus cuts off all of that at the knees of his disciples. He says, at the close of the day, at the end of your miserable life, at the end of the world, when you have done everything that was commanded you to do, you say this. Get these words on your lips. We are unworthy servants. We have only done that which was commanded us to do. And to tell you the truth, we haven't even done that. So, Lord, have mercy on us. And that's where we get to the gospel kicker. You see, you and I serve a different kind of master than earthly masters. He's the one who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, for you. He's the suffering servant who bears the sins of his people. He's the sinless one who became our sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus is actually a master who calls his servants in from the field at the end of the day, and he doesn't interrogate them over what they did and how well they did it. He doesn't have them wait on him. He serves them. He invites them to his table. He washes their feet. He feeds them with his food and drink that he's prepared. And while you're saying, Lord, we're unworthy servants, we don't deserve anything, we were only doing that which we were commanded to do, and even that we didn't do, he's saying to you, well done, good and faithful servant. It's all by grace. It's all free, gift, unearned, unmerited, undeserved. You want to get what you deserve? You want to get what you earn? Die. The wages of sin is death. Wages are earned. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. You don't earn that. By grace, through faith, for Jesus' sake. By God's undeserved kindness toward you, poor, miserable, broken sinner, through faith, trust in the promise of a forgiveness that is so boundless and so sure and so certain that you can actually forgive a brother or a sister 7 times in a day. Oh, forget 7. 70 times 7. And that forgiveness will never run out. It'll never run dry. It's the kind of faith that moves mulberry trees. Faith so tiny, you don't notice it. In fact, it's not your faith that forgives or serves or moves the mulberry tree. It's your Jesus in whom faith trusts. Jesus.
So that's what we mean when we talk about a good sermon review, a sermon that where Jesus is often mentioned. He's the subject of the verbs, and all the verbs comfort sinners with what Jesus has done, what Jesus alone has done for us. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Dr. John Warwick Montgomery respond to the covert Messiah theory. This is a theory, I've never heard this one before, but apparently some Bible scholars, I use my scare quotes there, even though you cannot see them, have determined that Christianity and Jesus are the fabrication of Roman aristocrats who put together this idea to further their political aims. Never heard that one before, but we will tomorrow, and we'll get Dr. John Warwick Montgomery to respond to it tomorrow on Issues Etc. We'll also discuss Naomi and Ruth. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest, and we'll have Dr. Joel Heck answer the question, what happened to the dinosaurs? I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.